We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support. Time to listen to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. That number is open 24 hours a day. We want to hear from you on any subject. We know our on-demand listeners listen sometimes weeks behind the live show. And when they do this, they come up with questions and ideas. It's not only for the on-demand listeners, but for all of our listeners. The Issues Etc. comment line, the number 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384, dedicated entirely to your comments, your questions, your show suggestions, your criticisms. It's all there, and it's one of the almost guaranteed ways of getting a response on the air to your comment. The Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Now, whenever possible, we begin, as we listen to these comments from the comment line, with Issues Etc.'s own Paul Harvey.
This is Harry of Arlington Heights commenting on the miracle of Ground Zero. In doing so, I acknowledge on this Christian talk show the thoughtful words of Jewish Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, on whose message this comment is based. It was April 20, 1789, the day this nation, as we know it, was born, when our first president took his oath of office under the authority of its recently ratified Constitution. In his inaugural address, in the then national capital in New York City, Washington said, "We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." The inaugural finished, Washington on foot led the Vice President and all the members of both houses of that first United States Congress to a small church, St. Paul's Chapel, where the entire government knelt in prayer for 2 hours, consecrating this nation into God's hands. America's national seal, in its earliest depiction of its power, the eagle with the arrows and shield and olive branches, was kept not in the White House, not in the Pentagon, but in that chapel that remains standing to this day. A plaque above Washington's pew in St. Paul's Chapel reads, "Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that you will keep the United States in holy protection." That spiritual birthplace of America, where our entire government knelt in prayer, is the corner of Ground Zero. And it stands thanks only to the holy protection sought in that prayer. When the cloud of destruction of 9/11 settled, all the buildings around Ground Zero were badly damaged except one, that same small church, providentially spared. A steel beam from the North Tower was hurled from the sky and was on a trajectory bound directly for the back of the chapel. In back of the chapel was a graveyard. In the graveyard, in the precise path of the hurtling beam, was a sycamore tree. The beam pierced the trunk of the sycamore and stopped. They called it the miracle of Ground Zero. Thank you.
No doubt about it. We do have the smartest listeners in radio. Thank you very much to our own Paul Harvey. We're listening to some comments from our Issues Etc. comment line. The number for that comment line, 618-223-8384. You can also join us here, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live on this tax day, April the 15th. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. And don't you want to leave a comment like this? You want to leave a question left over from a long ago listened to show, one that's been kind of nagging at you a little bit, a suggestion or add something that you think we left out, a criticism of something we said or criticism of us in general, it's all welcome. Add the comment line, 618-223-8384. I would like to listen to comments like Harry's from Arlington Heights, because he's a guy who sat down and thought about what he's going to say. And that's a very rare thing in our soundbite culture. We are as much a part of that soundbite culture as anyone else. But in our soundbite culture, it's very rare to find someone who sits down and thinks about what they're going to say before they say it. Next, a comment about our interview on the Bible and homosexuality.
Yes, I just called to make some comments on the presentation you had of Dr. Robert Gagnon from the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary on the homosexual issue. And I appreciate that you had him on. You had him on two times within about the past month. One, the last one, the latest, was somewhat shorter, where he gives a reprise. The first one, he really unpacks a lot of stuff on this, which is really, really thorough and very, very good. I did find out that Pittsburgh Theological Seminary is affiliated with the Presbyterian Church USA, known as one of the more liberal circle denominations in the U.S. You still have people there who have and can defend a traditional biblical position on things yet. You may want to get an update on the PCUSA. You used to have a speaker on from that group named Parker Williamson, who headed the Presbyterian Layman. May want to just check him out and see where things stand in that nomination and have him run an update past you on things. That would be a kind of interest. They've had some property issue court proceedings over who owns the congregational property going on in that group, and he may have some insights into what is happening in there. So I just thought I'd mention that. But yes, especially Dr. Gagnon's first presentation, the long one, he really unpacked a lot of good material there and brought a lot of good information to the fore. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Dr. Gagnon is a very thorough exegete of Scripture when it comes to the issue of homosexuality. And we'll do our best to get Parker Williamson back on, get an update on the Presbyterian Church USA. We're listening to some of our comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor John Lindner, Arthur A. Just Jr., Dale and Susan McCall, Leela Ruth Parks, Cynthia Rice, Kay Egan, Mark Resner, Stephen Lomax, Marion Beeler, and Jody Patton. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
We're listening to the Issues Etc. comment line for the next 10 minutes. Round off this first hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 15th, Tax Day. Tomorrow on the program, our Pastor's Roundtable. We've covered baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the natural place to go next with our pastors, based upon the Augsburg Confession, that seminal confession of the Lutheran Reformers, Confession and Absolution. That's tomorrow, our Pastor's Roundtable. Hour one of Issues Etc. We'll talk about confession. Next, a comment about our recent interview with Dr. Lewis Brighton on eternal punishment.
Hi, this is Lisa from Kansas City, and I'm one of your favorite on-demand listeners, and I just caught up today with the show with Dr. Brighton on hell and eternal punishment, and I had thoughts about it, and so I kind of was out on my lunch hour, raced home, and thought I wanted to share before I forgot. First of all, there was a caller that called in and said, you know, who's more powerful, God or the devil? And you hear this question a lot from atheists because I think it's just so ridiculous what we believe about God and man and the devil. So I think first this question is clearly from someone who starts with a false understanding or maybe a human distortion of God, man, and the devil, someone that maybe grew up in a church that you know, there's this big battle between God and the devil over your soul. And, you know, when God is winning, you are doing good things, and when you're bad, the devil is winning, so, you know, be good. And they use this kind of as a threat, or you'll go to hell. And, you know, we're just then these poor innocent creatures stuck in the middle of this battle, and poor us, this is so not fair. And so, you know, rightly so, they think, how ridiculous, this is silly. You know, if God is more powerful, if he's the more powerful superhero, he should just kill the devil and get rid of hell, and then we'll have nothing to fear. God or the church just uses all of this to threaten us and to force us to do good or to do what they think is good. And you know, many of them think I don't need God or the devil to tell me what to do, but I totally agree that is silly, because it's not true. It's not based on anything that God has revealed about himself in Scripture. It's like asking who is more powerful, the judge that sentences the guilty or the prosecuting attorney and the crowd of witnesses that are pointing the fingers at the guilty or the accused. Gee, why didn't the judge just kill all the attorneys and all the people and get rid of the gallows and the prisons? And then us poor accused sinners will, you know, not have to worry about ever being going to prison or being hung or anything like that. Wouldn't that be real mercy? And, of course, we would say no, because it's a justice system. And, gee, I wonder where we got the term justice. I wonder where humanity even had the concept of justice. No, you know, the judge does not blow up the prisons and shoot the lawyers. What he says is to the devil, yep, you're right. You are accusing them, and they are completely guilty as charged, guilty as sin. Huh, pardon the pun.
Oh, again, smartest listeners in radio, she has pointed out quite rightly the myth of moral neutrality. Now, this myth of moral neutrality not only prevails among the atheists, who essentially say, and she said it even better than I could ever say it, but who essentially say, look, man is a morally neutral creature, and even though I don't believe in God or the devil, I'm going to play your game for a while and ask you which one is stronger. If God is so strong, how come evil apparently prevails? But it's based on the myth of moral neutrality that man doesn't have a part in this. He's just a pawn in the game of the deities or something like that. Sadder still is that the myth of moral neutrality, as she rightly points out, prevails even among Christians who should know better. You've seen the little tract that gets handed out. It looks like a ballot, you've been on the street, someone's handed you this thing, it says, your eternal destiny, there are three votes to be cast. God votes for heaven, the devil votes for hell. You cast the deciding vote. It's based on the myth of moral neutrality, that somehow we have the ability and are in the position, the moral position, to choose between God and Satan, or between good and evil. Well, this is a myth. Man is not a morally neutral creature. We are born in alliance, in league with, as part of the grand conspiracy that is Satan's attempt to destroy us. We are willing allies of the devil, and this is why God, certainly more powerful than the devil, demonstrates his power not by destroying the devil outright and doing away with evil that way, but by sending his son to make atonement for sin, and thereby destroying the power of the devil, which is death. Here's a comment about our discussion on Rush Limbaugh's worldview.
Yes, my comment is regarding an earlier broadcast concerning whether or not the famous broadcaster Rush Limbaugh has a Christian worldview. In my opinion, although I don't believe that Mr. Limbaugh has what I consider to be a truly orthodox Christian worldview from a Lutheran perspective, I believe basically he does. Many of the callers, and if I'm not mistaken, the brilliant broadcasters on the Issues Etc. program tend to believe that Mr. Limbaugh has a much too utopian viewpoint of society, meaning that he credits too much brilliance, honesty, and integrity to the people in general, and he detracts too much from government. In my opinion, having recently listened to an excellent interview between Dr. Dale Meyer at Concordia Seminary and Dr. Uwe Simonetto of the Institute of Lay Vocation on the subject of vocation and the doctrine of the two kingdoms, which is most developed in Lutheranism, I believe that perhaps Limbaugh does have a Christian worldview, whether he is aware of it or not. In other words, even God rules in the world, the left-hand kingdom, and in his right-hand kingdom, but in different ways. In the left-hand kingdom, he does rule through government, and as the brilliant host of Issues Etc. point out, we need to respect our government accordingly. However, as a kingdom of priests, the ultimate authority of all government rests with the people. In other words, when government chooses not to be godly and righteous in their laws and their exercise of them, the authority and the rights of the people to rebel and to reinstitute government resides as a inbred right of God. And so the ultimate authority is with the people, and I think Limbaugh actually recognizes that, as well as the founding fathers of this fine country we live in, the United States of America. That is my comment. Thank you.
Well, actually, I think our critique of Rush Limbaugh's worldview centered around Rush's utopian view of man and his capacities, not of the people. I mean, there's a big difference between talking about man and his capacities. I mean, I think it's fair to say that Rush's worldview conceives of man as a mostly good moral agent who, if left to his own devices, will generally seek his own enlightened self-interest, and that will benefit everyone if there's the minimum amount of government intrusion. I think it's difficult to shoehorn Rush into the Lutheran doctrine of vocation. And I do have to take issue with the commenter that the biblical view of governmental authority leaves the final authority with the people. It doesn't. Now, if that's the kind of government that you have, government by the consent of the governed, the kind that we have in the United States, that's certainly true in some sort of secondary sense. But the ultimate authority behind government is God himself. Now, God grants that power to govern to various agencies. In some cases, it's kings. In some cases, it's legislatures. And in the case of the United States, it's the governed. One last comment from our Issues Etc. comment line.
Speak to a representative. If you need time to get
Pamela Adams
on the line, press 2. To schedule this callback for a later time, press 3. To cancel this callback, press 9.
Is this the same person who called looking for Judy or someone before? No, it's a different person. Just another wrong number. Just goes to show we leave no comment unanswered here on Issues Etc. And if your comment is fit to make it to the air, even if it's a wrong number, we will respond. My response to that comment? I'm sorry, wrong number. The Issues Etc. 300 is a group of 300 congregations that have dedicated themselves by putting Issues Etc. in their mission or advertising budget, their annual budget, to the support of this worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. We're looking for 300 of them. That's why we call it the Issues Etc. 300. If you go to our website tonight, issuesetc.org, and click the promote page, you'll find not only a list of the congregations who are members of the Issues Etc. 300, a growing list, but also you'll find the way that your congregation can become part of the Issues Etc. 300 and support Issues Etc. in its annual budget to the tune of $1,000 or more. The Issues Etc. 300, and there at our promote page at our website, issuesetc.org, you'll find a flyer that you can print off with all the information you and your congregation needs to become part of the Issues Etc. 300. issuesetc.org, click promote. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc., a good old-fashioned hymn study for the Easter season during this week of Easter. The hymn we're studying with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.